Welcome to Variant Frequencies. Month to month, our podcast brings you fiction stories from a different channel. Sci-fi, fantasy, horror, and some odd bands in between. Visit us at www.variantfrequencies.com.
Hello, I'm Rick Stringer. This is episode 3 of The Failed Cities Hath a Darkness. If this is your first time listening, you will want to go to variantfrequencies.com and start with episode 1. There will be 2 episodes a week between December 1st, 2009 and Christmas Day. As an added bonus, at the end of each episode, we will bring you one song from Abney Park's Dark Christmas album. But that's not all. We will be giving away one copy of their new album, Aether Shanties. To enter our contest, send an email to me at variantfrequencies@gmail.com, telling me who your favorite character is from the Failed Cities monologues. We will be drawing the winner randomly from those emails. Now, we have a brief word from our sponsor. Most of us now use a BlackBerry, iPhone, or Palm to check email when we're out of the office. But it's not enough. You need access to the files and programs on your office computer. GoToMyPC is the tool that will give you complete access to everything on your computer from anywhere. For you Macintosh users, GoToMyPC currently has a Mac beta. Just go to their site and follow the GoToMyPC for Mac beta link. With GoToMyPC, you're actually operating your computer from any other computer. Access your programs, files, everything you need to work from anywhere. All you need is an internet connection. Our listeners can try GoToMyPC free for 30 days. That's a month of unlimited remote access free. For this special offer, you must visit www.gotomypc.com/podcast. That's gotomypc.com/podcast for a free trial. Now, on to our story. Part 3. The Failed Cities Hath a Darkness. Stern. By Matt Wallace. Stern, the hard-boiled word-slinger, doesn't believe in Christmas stories. He'd certainly never write such a tale. Living through one, however, well, that's another story altogether.
As a black snowfall blankets the failed cities on Christmas Eve, the arrival of 99 mysterious steel chambers sets a series of far-from-blessed events in motion. 8 people become links in a deadly chain that will either tether innocent lives to safety or strangle any hope for their future. And as each part of the story unfolds, we learn that above all things, Christmas in the failed cities is a feverishly struck balance between the constant threat of violence and the briefest, most bittersweet moments of joy.
Christmas stories, not my bag. If they aren't literary commercials or decorative propaganda films for the gift-giving holiday machine, they take fanciful into reaches beyond acid trips or anything relatable to this world, and especially this city. I don't know about you, but I've never had a magical winter adventure, I've never saved Santa, and I've never learned an important lesson about the true meaning of Christmas. In real life, I've got no heat, a girlfriend with a permanent post-traumatic sex syndrome who's staging a shadow play about the historical link between Christmas and spousal abuse, and my new book hasn't moved 100 digital copies. So far, interest has flatlined to the point that no hacker has even bothered to pirate the fucking thing. Now that's a kick in the metaphorical ballsack. I'd do something symbolic and angst-infused, like burn old manuscripts to keep warm, but no one uses paper anymore. Besides, that's the holiday season in the stacks. We're all just dealing with it. The Rastas are hiding somewhere, huddled around warm inherited memories of a tropical ancestral climate. Meanwhile, the Dutch from Little Amsterdam steal all their weed, sipping clients till spring. Sometimes it pays to come from cold winter countries. And me? I'm plugging away at my next huge, embarrassing failure. Normally I'd consider a call that saves me from this next sentence a hand job from God, but the last time the Maven hit me up around the hour of the wolf, I was maimed and almost killed. Twice. As it is, my leg hosts raging orgies for pain and suffering every time I go out in the cold. Of course, that doesn't stop me from picking up. The truth is, I miss the old guy. I haven't watched him since all that went down. I think he's been trying to keep me out of the life, keep me from turning into a slightly thinner, obviously more handsome version of him. So the fact the call is about work means something. And it's just a driving job, a favor. It's just picking up a few kids and taking them over to a floating free clinic the street preachers sponsor. Christ knows I could use the extra cash. It sounds like cake. It sounds like a good deed. And yet, somehow I'm not surprised when a few kids turn out to be 8 dozen, and those 8 dozen turn out to be black market clones. I'm even less surprised when I end up with a loaded gun pointed at my crown and a scowling Russian cop barking at me in broken English. He was waiting for me when I pulled up to the clinic. I could have written this scene, and I could have created this guy. He's a hard-boiled cover shot waiting to happen. Straight razor scar down his face, prison shank pockmarks in his hand. I should probably remind myself about that fiction versus fact dialogue I was internalizing earlier. I have a real problem with that in these situations. What I definitely shouldn't do is kick this truck door open and send that gun of his into the gutter. And spearing him to the ground? That was an even worse idea. A guy could get killed doing shit like this. Either I've been out of the pit too long, or my Iron Curtain friend is also a student of the game. He's got good hand speed. Takes a punch like someone who knows exactly what it's gonna feel like. After a few seconds and a few thousand drops of adrenaline, we're both showing red and neither of us has scored a knockdown yet. And after following a body hook with an elbow to the jaw, it happens. The oddest, most unexpected thing. We both realize, at exactly the same time, that neither of us is trying to kill the other. We're just swinging because we're being swung on, old phantom instincts hardwired by the day-to-day, by misspent youths filled with pit fights and street fights and bar fights. But our active impulses, the pops and sparks that make our cerebrum sing, none of them are screaming, "Go for the throat." That's what the Farrell twins taught me. Aside from just how much blood a person really socks away in their body. I'm a decent fighter, a good fighter, but I'm not a killer. As much scrap as I might possess, when the moment came, I didn't have the coup de grace in me. My reptile brain lies too dormant, I guess. Or fuck it, maybe it really is just a Christmas miracle, like in all those stories I'd never write. Either way, we end up planting our asses down on the curb. A sad sight, I'm sure, with our busted noses and bruised cheeks and bleeding lips. We find out we're both laboring under our own misapprehensions. He's not a hard-boiled cop. In point of fact, he's not a cop at all. He's just an ex-detective named Klemenko who insists he's not on the case, chasing after my charges. And those tech-swaddled babes in my carriage aren't kidnapped orphans, as Klemenko was apparently led to believe. He doesn't seem shocked. I get the feeling he's been lied to a lot. And if he was a cop, especially across the river, add that to the list of things tonight that have failed to surprise me. Here's the rub. If he found the boys and girls from Brazil I ferried over here, then so can this mystery-shrouded consortium everyone is all hush-toned and crossing themselves about. And they will. Whether he reports back or not, they will come looking. The only thing to do is get these magic tykes blazing a trail out of town, and fast. I'm the guy who's supposed to know plot twists, but it's Klemenko who comes up with the wild idea. But that's a drive I'm not riding shotgun on. And if I have learned a lesson this Christmas, it's... Shit, who am I kidding? I haven't learned anything. But my face hurts, my ribs hurt, my leg is burning, and I want to live to see Cairo's god-awful feminazi play.
Thank you for listening to The Failed Cities, Hath of Darkness, by Matt Wallace. Narrated by Tom Devo Spice Rockwell. Music by Neil Stringer, Abney Park, and Digital Juice. Abney Park's website is abneypark.com, and Digital Juice is at digitaljuice.com. To find out more about Variant Frequencies, please go to our website at variantfrequencies.com. If you like Variant Frequencies, tell your friends about us. Thank you from the Variant Frequencies team.
In a future where noir, cyberpunk, and visceral horror make mind-bending bedfellows, the only thing that separates a forsaken urban sprawl from a half-finished technological utopia is 16 miles of river. They're known as the Failed Cities. Two worlds populated by shadow agents, street soldiers, reluctant detectives, and femme fatales. When a single conspiracy touches them all, the story can only be told in their voices. Ethan, the street preacher. Truck, the hot-rodding neo-hipster knifesmith. The feral twins, whose passion for death and each other is the only escape from their own tormented psyches. Just a few of the characters that drive one of the most unique storytelling experiences in fiction today. J.C. Hutchins, author of the Seventh Son trilogy, calls the Failed Cities monologues gritty, imaginative, believable. T. Morris, author of Moravi, says the Failed Cities monologues creates a chilling tapestry of inner darkness that finds its outside voice. It's not a matter of wanting to listen. You have to. Visit PodioBooks.com to hear the series that's redefining the rules of podcast fiction. Variant Frequencies presents The Failed Cities Monologues by Matt Wallace. 8 lives, 2 cities, 1 story.
Get this book and more free titles from PodioBooks.com.